away we go, Scuttlebucks! Good to be with you. Thanks so much for listening, as always, and a fine Friday to you and yours. Libations Friday, I dare say, right? Right? Bucks have got to figure it out. Got to get it moving. We thank our friends at Bill Curry Ford always for sponsoring this here program, the Scuttlebucks. I'm Jeff. That is Tom. And we'll be talking Bucks here in just a second. But first up, as I always like to remind you, go see our friends at Bill Curry Ford. They'll give you the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Sean Sullivan, the GM, will help you out personally if you ask. You can also ask for the Joe Bucks fan discount. If you want to see the inventory, go to BillCurryFord.com. But if you're near there, well, why not stop on by? They're just a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. They're so good, in fact, that many of the players and coaches frequent there and get their cars from there. Vita Vea does, Ali Marpet does, and others. So that's BillCurryFord.com. All right, so we're tired of the Bucks here kind of screwing around. It's time to get it together here. Go play a good football game, or, you know, I say go. Dominate a football game on Monday night and maybe get this bad taste out of our mouth. They've said all the things this week. We'll see. We'll see. I do think it's incumbent upon this defense to get stops and get the hell off the field. I think more than anything else, we've talked about the up and down nature of the offense and why that is with some of the situations with injuries, obviously. But and the Bucks have had that on defense too, Sean Murphy, Bunning, and others. But go make some plays and get off the field. That was ludicrous, what we just saw last week, where Washington, of all people, are able to sustain a drive that, in essence, ends the game. When you get into 6 to 7 to 8 minute drives, Tom, that is unacceptable for a group that possesses the kind of talent that Tampa does.
Yeah, I think this is – we're getting into a place now where I expect Tampa at home to handle business. On the road, I'm not so sure. And it doesn't matter who the opponent is on the road. The more that I've been thinking about it, and the more you see the numbers about what the offense looks like when they go on the road this season versus what it looks like at home, you realize that this is more than just an idle trend. The good news is this is not like last season, Brady's first, in which the Bucks played the Giants on Monday Night Football on the road in New Jersey. So I think while it's a very simplistic view, it's a trend that the Bucks need to, pardon the pun, buck before I really panic about what we look like when we're at Ray J. I expect this offense to be explosive. I think the ground game is going to succeed against a Giants front that does not do a good job of stopping the run. We'll see what the weapons are in the passing game, but I wonder if behind the scenes this was the week in which Tom Brady and company said enough is enough. The hell is wrong with all you people? This complacency is making me sick. But I think that's where we are as a football team right now. There is complacency. We always know a team coming off of a title or losing in the Super Bowl, either way, there's a hangover.
Yeah.
Unless you're the New England Patriots. And even still, winning back-to-back Super Bowls wasn't necessarily their thing in the 20-year run. It's really hard to win back-to-back. You want to time release everything you got, and this team did so last year. I think one of the things that might hurt them is the lesson of the Super Bowl last season was, hey, man, we didn't even start playing anywhere close to our best football until December, and that was plenty good to win the whole thing. So maybe they're resting on their laurels, but I would see. I expect a spirited effort. I expect a big win on Monday.
Yeah, I do too. It'll be interesting to see. If they don't, then we will push the panic button. If something happens, the Giants are in this game late, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a dogfight, and you're thinking, okay, well, we're just not very good right now. That's exactly what we would be thinking. And the thing is, you know, the trend is obvious. In a 24-hour news cycle where you have to have things to talk about, when the Bucks, who are the world champions, reigning world champions, don't play well and lose games, the debate shows, as I like to call them, across the country on every network, get into whether they're cooked or not, whether or not they're done, whether or not people have figured them out, whether or not Tom's finally getting old, whether or not the defense, you know, all that stuff, because they have to have content. I don't do that. I don't sit around worried that the Bucks aren't going to be very good or that the Bucks are not the team they were a year ago. The Bucks are what most teams are that have as many veterans as they do who are coming off having won the Super Bowl. They are calculating, they are understanding that the real fight is in the postseason. They're good enough to win enough games to make said postseason, and I think it's only natural that you then perhaps take your foot off the gas a little bit. It is hard to run in the red all the time. So they go through the motions, they get bit That's what happens to a lot of teams that have been very good and sustained that excellence for some time, is that occasionally you have some games that are clunkers where you go through the motions and it's not good enough because you're catching everybody's best shot. And the Bucs are going to continue to get everybody's best shot. Everybody wants to beat Tom Brady. Everybody wants to beat the Lombardi Trophy holders. Of course they do. Then you marry that, Tom, with all of the injuries, and you got guys out that are vital to your success, to sustaining drives, to flipping field, to scoring points, everything. No Antonio Brown, no Gronk, of course. That's been a real problem for this team. They've had defensive injuries as well. So I don't panic. I will tell you that the time for panic has arrived if they lose on Monday. That happens. I'm going to sing a different tune when we do the Scuttabucks. Well, and even then, it's a 17-game season. You could still end up at, you know, whatever, 11-6, 12-5. But, yeah, it will be because you're losing to inferior teams on the regular at that point that I would have real concerns. I'm not there yet. I have not hit the red panic button yet. I'm holding out hope that we're going to be fine. By the way, the latest injury report, Antonio Brown, who is fully vaccinated, by the way, at least announced by the Bucs that he is.
And his lawyer.
And his lawyer, right. Did not participate in practice this week with the ankle problem. It's not the virus issue.
It's not the weight ankle of the 10 grand he owes his chef.
It's not that. Who else? Chris Godwin, limited participation this week because of the foot, but we know he'll play. Rob Gronkowski, full participation.
All right.
Come on, man.
Well, there's full participation, and then there's, does he look like his normal self? That's the question, because the reports were the back injury was similar to what he suffered years ago. And if that's the case, then he's not going to look the same. So look to see how he fires off the ball, how he's involved in the blocking game. Is he moving people, or is he catching blocks? Is he falling backwards? And when he lands on the ground after a catch or a missed opportunity, does he get up quickly, or does he labor? That's going to be the thing that I'm looking at, because full participation in practice only tells a portion of the story.
Vita Vea did not participate this week in practice. He is set to give it a go on Monday night. That's good news.
Now, that's something we didn't talk about on Monday.
Woo, woo!
That the MRI came, but we were waiting for the MRI.
You know how nervous I was?
Oh, man. Well, you lose. It felt like the Philadelphia Phillies ending their season in Ryan Howard tore his Achilles.
Trying to run to first.
I mean, that's a thing that happened where it's like your season's over and so is next year. In one play to end a playoff series, you talk about feeling down. Well, it's not the same level, but you lose to Washington on a 87-play, 90-yard drive that takes 42 minutes of game clock, right?
And then
to boot on the final play, Vita's hurt? Like, Jesus, man, that felt like such a kick. Well, Bruce said he might be available on Monday. That was midweek, Bruce talking. And if not, he'll be back relatively soon. So the whatever the results were, they were light compared to what they looked like when he was carted off the field.
Yeah, going to need him. Going to need him back. He is vital to the Bucs' success. It was no coincidence that when he came back, very, very late in the season, obviously, or Super Bowl, right? It changed everything Tampa Bay. So
Yeah, he was ready for Green Bay.
That's right. So, you know, we'll see. We did get an update. I know that Bruce Arians talked about it this week as well. They've been without Scotty Miller this year. They've been without Sean Murphy Bunting, as we've talked about. That might change on Monday. Both are nearing a return, he says, from the injured reserve list. In fact, this was the quote. I'll find it here. Bruce Arians, they're making good progress. Sean especially. We still got to activate them. We got to cut some people. So we'll wait and see who all is available for the roster, who we're bringing up from the practice squad, and who we're not. But that sounds like he's fairly certain that they're ready to go. So that means there are tough decisions to be made.
Yep.
Murphy Bunting would be able to step right in on that roster spot. And then obviously you got Richard Sherman on the injured reserve.
Look, man, this is a critical game. You know, the more I'm thinking about it, this is a really big one because it can right the wrongs. It can calm everybody down, not just the fan base, because, like, who cares if you're in that locker room? Who cares what the fans think?
Right.
But it would calm the locker room down because you would have a bad trend with two roadies coming up. The second one is not that big of a concern because it's Atlanta, all right? So unless Calvin Ridley is all of a sudden back in the fold, that's not a concern. Oh, sorry. I saw a shake of the head. Do you have him in fantasy?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what that looked like.
Oh, yeah.
But the game that we do play a week from this Sunday is at Indy. Be alert on Sunday, taking a look at what's going on between the Bills and the Colts.
Great game. Because
Indy has come back to life here, and so if they put up even a respectable performance in a loss, let alone a win, and you've got Indy on a short week, we've got issues on the road in general, and you mess around and lose on Monday night to the Giants, you've got a real problem on your hands.
You have a huge problem on your hands, but they're not going to mess around and lose to the Giants, Tom. They're going to win that game. It's a week of great games, by the way. Packers, Vikings should be a lot of fun. Colts, Bills, you just alluded to. We're all football fans here. We like to see the good games. I even think some of the lesser-tier games are fun and interesting. I mean, Saints-Eagles is an interesting game, and that affects the division, obviously, with the Saints. I think you go on down that list of games that I kind of, I wonder about that. Those two teams. There's a few others that we haven't mentioned. I mean, I obviously our game, a lot of people feel like the Giants, the Bucks are on upset alert because of the way the Giants have played Tampa the last few years. Yeah. I'm not so sure about that, but we'll see. Bengals-Raiders is interesting as well. Cowboys-Chiefs being the best of the games. Got a lot of good games this weekend.
Yeah, and again, the thing that worries me, if Vita can't go, well, now you're susceptible to the ground game because you can obviously see the difference in the way we defend the run.
Well, and they're getting Saquon Barkley back. So.
Right, and Tony should be available, and Evan Engram is a matchup nightmare for our linebackers. So all of these things combined, man, even if the offense comes to play, you could be in a pseudo shootout. At halftime, it could be 21-17, and you're, you know, sitting down for 15 minutes, turning away from the ESPN coverage because who wants to watch Boomer do his three-minute drill? And you're thinking to yourself, my God, okay, we've got a sweat on our hands. We thought this would be a season of no perspiration, sir, and we've got another sweat on our hands if they play up to their ability on the New York sideline, given that we've got a lot of guys missing.
Really quick, I should give credit here to Jordan Rannan of ESPN.com. I was reading through game previews this morning, knowing we were going to do this today, and He noted that he thought Chris Godwin would have a big game, and the reason being is that the Giants have been bad against those in the slot. In particular, they've really had a hard time finding somebody they trust there. They're kind of divvying between Darnay Holmes, who's a rookie, who's working as a second-year guy, and then rookie cornerback Aaron Robinson. So those guys have allowed the fifth most yards out of the slot this season. Godwin's 373 yards, eighth best in the NFL from that position. They believe he'll have a feast against the Giants. Let's hope that's accurate.
Yeah, and just studying what the Giants do against the run and how porous they can be. I mean, I think this is a day where we'll see what the combination is. The storyline this season has been 80-20. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
Fournette to Ronald Jones on the ground?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more, maybe 85-15. But I think that you can expect 150 yards on the ground. I think they can really ground and pound this thing and then set up shots to Chris Godwin over the middle, shots to Gronk in the ground game. Because remember, if Gronk is fully healthy,
it changes everything.
That changes the run game as well. It changes everything about how you block it up, the schemes, the angles, the gaps that you can generate. That dude is far more reliable as a run blocker than our replacements, Cam Brate and O.J. Howard. Like, it changes a lot of what you can do, how dynamic you can be.
I have to hope, certainly, too, the Bucks. You know, if you're having a crisis of confidence, and I'm not sure they are, that's everybody's speculation, but if you're having, maybe you're a little rattled, things haven't gone well lately, if you're having any sort of crisis of confidence, you do have to get off to a good start. You know, this starting slow, getting behind the eight ball, having to overcome momentum, you know, the stuff you see from opposing teams where they're buoyed, they believe, they're energized, they're invested again. You know, we haven't done a good job in this little stretch of coming out and putting our foot on the throats of those that are inferior. You never want to let somebody believe. I mean, these are NFL players. They're all their best players in college. They can go out. We see it every week in the NFL. Bad teams beat good teams all the time. So you have to establish that it ain't happening today. Let's hope we get off to a good start.
Well, yeah, I'd talk about the finish too. And of course, you put those two things together, you're going to win a lot of football games
right.
If you start well and finish well. But consider that against Washington, obviously you don't. You can't get off the field, and they take up the whole freaking fourth quarter.
Ridiculous.
Against New Orleans, Brady has the throw down the field to Grayson. Big touchdown, big moment on the road. You're ahead late. You don't finish. You don't finish that game. The pick six makes the game look different, but we were unable to get the stop that we were needing to win the football game. Against the Bears, remember, it's 38-3, but Bruce is pissed off because our red zone offense was terrible in the second half. Like, what did we kick? Was it 3 points?
Yeah,
second half, we had 35 at the break.
It was yeah.
But our starters were out there. We were trying to score, and we couldn't. That was frustrating. The Eagles game, you're up 28-7, 28-3, whatever it was, turns into a real football game out of nowhere. In fact, they had the ball with a chance, and you're thinking, oh, my God, are we really going to piss this thing away? The Dolphins game is the last one you could go to where we finished strong. You know when that game was? October the 10th.
Yeah.
Wow. How about a good third or fourth quarter where you put a stamp on a game and you say, not today, fellas, not today. It has been over a month since we've seen that.
Arians called the team this week, right after that game, actually, a dumb football team. He did say, admittedly, he followed that up with, that's a reflection on the coaches. Well, I don't think the coaches are dumb, and I don't think the team is dumb. They played poorly. They've played undisciplined at times. They've made dumb mistakes. But this team is the exact same team that just won the Super Bowl, minus all the injuries. That's really what we're talking about here. They just haven't found consistency because a lot of guys have been out. That's all we're talking about here. They're not right. Dumb. It's not that they don't care. It's none of that. They just haven't been healthy. There hasn't been continuity. It's led to some mistakes. I hope last week was that moment where you realize, okay, all right, good enough. We've got it figured out. Let's go. You got to play from the jump. Let's get focused and make some plays here.
Well, this is a team, I think it's fair to say this, that this is a team that got hot and won a Super Bowl and hasn't proven since that they're consistently that team that got hot and won the Super Bowl. Because the Dallas game was close.
Well, it should be. Dallas is good.
The Atlanta game was close for a longer time than a lot of us anticipated. It ended up being a blowout towards the end. But yeah. Into the second half, you're going, Jesus, Matt Ryan is playing the game of his... Are you kidding me? Lost to the Rams. The Patriots game was way too close. That should... I mean, your red zone execution there was what made that a game that you had to kick late and win and then hold off a New England kick as time was running out. The Dolphins game, all right.
45-17.
There it is. There it is.
Beaten, yep.
You know, you pushed the second time. You finished in that game. But then Philadelphia, great start, not 60 minutes.
Dominated the Bears.
Okay, it's in you. New Orleans game, nope. And that's the team that lost its quarterback in the first quarter. They had to pull rabbits out of their hat with Simeon. What the hell is wrong with you? And then he lost to Heinicke again. So the resume states.
Not again. It's the first time we lost to Heinicke.
No, but talking about his success against defense. Yeah. You know, back-to-back years, you would say he had a successful game.
He did.
So you're looking at the total resume of a year and a half now with Brady, and it's, when they're hot, ain't nobody can touch them. But are they consistently great? No. The answer is no.
No. I don't know too many teams that I've watched this year that can answer that with a resounding yes, though, Tom. It's a weird league. The Bills lost to the Jags. The Rams just got thumped, hammered by a sub-500 49ers team, and they were not playing well prior to that. Every good team, Arizona's obviously dealing with injuries with Kyler Murray, but I mean, every team around this league has shown you this is what they're capable of, just being bad on a given day against bad teams. It happens. It just does. It's weird. I'm not suggesting you're panicking, but...
No, I'm not.
It happens.
But what I'm saying is if there is complacency in that building, there shouldn't be. Because you haven't shown that this is who you are. You're showing that this is who you can be, but that's not consistently what you're about. And to your point, I agree. Any given Sunday is a real thing in this NFL. Mm-hmm. Last season and this season is crazy. Some of the results you've seen. And the last 3 weeks have been nuts this season. But at the same time, you lose again on Monday. That's four losses in 10 games. What the hell are we doing around here?
No, now we're talking serious problems. Again, we'll see what happens Monday. We'll be back with you on Tuesday. I don't think they're going to lose this week, but I didn't think they were going to lose last week. So I've certainly been wrong before. But if they lose this next one, and that's three straight losses.
They've messed around enough that everybody's antennas are up. Everybody was thinking, you could put your feet up. Well, right. Our feet aren't up. Our antennas are up.
Yeah. Now, two fingers to our eyes, two fingers back to you, Tampa. Let's go. Get it together. Get you a big win here. Dominate the Giants. Not a good football team. Not a terrible football team, I might add, when they're healthy. They're not
Ingram is the one who scares the crap out of me. Like, if you look at his numbers, you're like, game log, what the hell? He's not – for our team and the lack of coverage that we have at linebacker, okay.
We've given up more points in the division than any other team besides the Falcons, who got drubbed last night. But they've also played 10 games, and we've only played 9. So our defense, let's go. Let's go.
Top damn time.
Get it together. Bill Curry Ford. Go see him. Go get you a new truck. Make you feel better about the Bucks. Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. You want to check out the inventory, all that good stuff. For Tom Lang, I'm Jeff Cameron. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Enjoy the football. We'll be back with you on Tuesday because the Bucks play on Monday. Have a great weekend.